Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Sammy and the Jets.
You guys remember us? Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke.
We miss y'all.
Here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show. Penzo Performance Line. Jhené, it has been a little while. Has something happened this week? I missed it.
I've missed you so much. I mean, the MLB happened, clearly, but we're going to make up for missed time. But I did say that a lot. I'm not going to lie. I was sitting on my couch watching Thursday Night Football, and I did catch myself saying, Sammy.
And sometimes I feel like the wide range of responses to that was sometimes it was the good. We saw the touchdown run that he broke off, looking nimble in the open field. LeBron James even tweeting about that. And then there was the, oh, God, Sammy, are you okay? As he slammed to the ground and now dealing with a little bit of a shoulder
sprain.
Wait.
You went from Sammy to Annie, are you okay? So you're now like remixing that. Sammy, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Sammy?
Cut it all up and make sure we have it ready. Jhené, you are the gift that keeps on giving. And we have a lot to get to today. Certainly with Kyrie Irving, the eternal content god that he is, giving us more coming up. What the Miami Heat have to do to try and bounce back in game two. Tonight, where we will be fans in the virtual crowd,
yes!
By the way, which, you know, what a follow-up for Barack Obama, Shaq, and everybody in there for it to now be us smack dab in the
middle. Yes, there's a couple of really, you know, heavy hitters. Obviously, it's us two, but I just got the news for who's in the crowd.
Ooh.
I'm going to say it. Should I say it really quick?
Yeah.
Big Sean, Luda, LL Cool J, Fat Joe, Timbaland, Rick Ross, Macy Gray, Bad Bunny, Ozuna, D-Nice, like
what?
A number of people. Yeah, we're in there.
Macy Gray?
Richard Sherman, Tyrod Taylor, Sue Bird, and then, you know, yeah, us.
All right.
Chloe and Halle, oh goodness, please perform during halftime for us.
There's got to be, right? Like we saw, you know, former President Barack Obama giving his sermon on people going out and voting during that got played online. Maybe we'll get a performance in there. All right, this is good because we need help at Jhené 321, at Jhené now.
Oh, yeah.
You have gone done glowed up on Twitter and now just have the one name. You are a one-name Twitter celebrity. So at Jhené, at Mike Golic Jr., what do we need to do to fit in with that crowd tonight as we're in the virtual crowd?
I think we should also ask, like, hey guys, let's make a game out of it. Every time the Lakers hitting a three after game one, that's a little scary, but we should do something. We should have like some kind of wager, you know, over the game. So something you guys suggest that we do every time that something happens.
Exactly.
Hit our socials.
Specific for this show. Obviously, we want to find a way to stand out in the middle of all of our fellow celebrities, like we just mentioned, because I'm going to put us all on the level with the people that you just mentioned.
Right there, anyway. Yeah.
But Jhené, I do want to touch on what we saw last night, because while we mentioned Sam Darnold is going to be where a lot of the attention goes here, he's the Jets franchise future, they hope still at this point, although it looks very broken, it got really testy towards the end of that game in a couple of different situations, and it's always curious, the end of game politics where you had Adam Gase, the Jets head coach, calling timeouts when the Broncos were trying to kneel out of the clock in this situation. You had the Broncos try and run a play where their quarterback gets waylaid then by the Jets defense, which has a lot of the Greg Williams haters in their feelings on this. And then finally, Vic Fangio and the Broncos just peace out of there and decide they are done. They are not going to fraternize with the enemy anymore on that one. Like, is that as contested an end of game as you've seen in a while, regardless of sport, Jhené? Because I feel like we live for these things.
Well, you look at what happens when games are decided. You don't want any of that like messiness, right? The Jets, they committed 11 penalties for 118 yards. Ooh. And obviously, I think they said there were 6 personal foul penalties, you know, directed towards the end of the game. So clearly, when things are said and done, you don't want those type of plays, especially now, given the nature of where we talk about injuries and like that type of stuff. You don't want that. We don't need that. None of us wants that. So yeah, I'm actually not mad. Like, I'm not going to go out there and shake your hand after that. That's the way things finish. And like, we're at the point where in the WNBA, we actually agree, like, we don't need to do that anymore. We officially were, as a collective, saying that we don't need to do handshakes. Like, that's young, you know, that's young style.
Well, and that's the thing is, you can also easily fall back on now because of the times we're in. You know, I was just trying to be safe. COVID protocol.
Yeah. No, that was not there.
It's
that
easy out for the coach to just beef.
Yeah, absolutely. It's if the time is now, I think, you know, it's funny. I mentioned this. Going into the season, we're like, we don't need to go into like high five lines, you know, this WNBA season anymore. We're above that. If you want to see someone for the other team, you do that. But if there's a beef there, you don't need to go over there and like make sure you're intentional about like saying what you did at the end of the game was cool. I thought it was uncool, and I feel like everyone has a right to just walk out.
We all looked at this matchup last night. It's Chinnan Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and we're rightly skeptical looking at this, understanding, all right, it's the Jets that have been brutal at best during the course of this season. The Broncos' starting quarterback situation now down with injury. So you had Mark Rippon in there, the former Boise State great last night, that was looking really good until a pick six and another really bad interception toward the end. All of it, but it was the decisions made involved. The ones that we mentioned, but the Jets having their first round pick, top overall pick, Mekhi Becton, deemed too injured to start the game, but dressed and still entering as a backup. All these things that just kind of are symptoms of a poorly run operation like we're seeing with the Jets right now, and one that's got to be immensely frustrating. We hear all the rumors about Adam Gase's job, and it doesn't seem like that's much longer for this world either. So it's a tire fire.
You know what we do here on Chinnan Gola Jr.'s, we uplift. Can we at least talk about, like, besides Sam Darnold, like the one play, Jerry Jeudy? That catch, Moss, how much was it? 48 yard touchdown catch where he literally, bam, snatched it?
It was one of the rare bright spots of that game. Besides finding out that Joe Flacco played for the New York Jets in the middle of that as well, you got to look at what everyone was so excited about with Jerry Jeudy. But Chinnan, the reason in that game, we understand it's the NFL, it's still going to be king around so many places, but those were two very bad football teams going at it last night. The game ended up being entertaining, but we saw plenty of the reasons we just mentioned why they are bad football teams. We apparently also had some bad blood that leaked out in the last couple of days. This Kyrie Irving news, Chinnan, and now you're someone that's had more interaction with Kyrie, so I'm really always curious when this stuff comes up, because Kyrie Irving made some comments on a podcast basically implying that now being on a team, he was trying to kind of lift up Kevin Durant. Now being on a team with Kevin Durant, he feels like there's someone at the end of a game who he trusts to take the big shot as much as he trusts himself. Everyone seemed to read that as a LeBron James slight. As someone that's actually been around and knows Kyrie better than most of us, what did you make when you saw these comments? Did it feel purposeful, or did this feel like true sentiment from Kyrie?
So it's funny, you know, talking about football and people under pressure, and you think of Adam Gase and how he's misunderstood, but there's also like talent that matters and winning that matters. And Kyrie has a cachet where he could be considered misunderstood. But what he's saying, there's some, you know, aspects of truth, right? And I think that's the hardest thing. He will say something boldly like, oh, hey, like, you know, I'm, you know, Kevin Durant is probably like the best guy I can defer to, or, hey, we won't have coaches, you know, we won't need coaches. To some degree, he is right. Kevin Durant, if you think about what he's able to do offensively as a 7-foot sniper, literally, that's his Instagram name, Easy Money Sniper. As a 7-foot sniper, he's probably one of the most gifted offensive players. So of course, anyone not named Kevin Durant would probably say, like, yeah, I would defer to that guy. Like, in the history of basketball, similar to LeBron James, like, it just sort of is like the bad blood that emanates from there puts context to what he says, and it just makes it easy to be misunderstood and taken the wrong way. But this is what Kyrie kind of wants. And you know, I've talked to him a couple of times, and he knows that this is what likely happens. And I'm looking forward to see what he says, you know, because I think he's going to hit his social media to probably clear up the air and talk leadership. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. We have a couple clips that we're going to play for you guys in a little bit of Kyrie already reacting to what he's got from the media. And I'll tell you why. Kyrie Irving reminds me of my favorite book. And the sentiment of that book is exactly what Kyrie has signed up for here, because if you try and play this part long enough, eventually you become it. Chinnan Gola Jr. is reminding you, be a part of Chinnan Gola Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you and treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 24-ounce Dr. Pepper today. We will get to that, but coming up next, I've always maintained this, Chinnan, as a junior, when one junior succeeds, we all do. And so we will talk to a prominent junior.
My dad's a junior.
Making some serious waves. See? All juniors win in these situations. We talk to a great NFL junior who's already making waves as a rookie. Next, it's Chinnan Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinnan Gola Jr., the podcast.
Chinnan Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gola Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Chinne Agbumike, who just got some bad news for her fantasy lineup during the last break. I'm looking up right now at our NFL Live crew, and I see on the bottom line there, breaking news, Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver, ruled out after limited practices this week with an ankle injury. The Saints are at the Detroit Lions at 1 o'clock this Sunday. So certainly a crushing blow for that team, Chinne, and someone you had just put back in the lineup. So a crushing blow for you.
I was optimistic, and I put him back in the lineup, and I knew they were going up against Detroit, and I was like, oh, this is money time. Yeah, but it's okay. I can wait.
Looks like we're going to have to. A Saints team that looked like it was performing a lot better. Certainly Alvin Kamara getting a lion's share of the touches. And a lot of interesting stuff about the NFL, Chinne, right now. Kevin, I think it was Kevin Seifert, our very own, who did an article this week saying that as we've watched, it's been an offensive boom early on in the season in the NFL. We've seen, obviously, most notably what the Chiefs did to the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night. My God.
I couldn't wear my shirt.
Oh, that's right. We had this whole thing built up around here. See, for anyone that missed it, obviously Major League Baseball's postseason's been all over ESPN and ESPN Radio, and we've been off for most of this week, preempted by that, and so we didn't get to react, and Chinne had a shirt that was all planned for should the Baltimore Ravens go out and win that game, which they famously did not come anywhere close to. My God.
So I know.
We'll never know.
We won't know. But hey, when the Ravens win a big game, I will bring it back.
There we go. Chinne Agbumike Jr. is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today.
And I was talking about winning a big game. I did finally get a win in fantasy for those who care as well.
All right, there we go. So we're making progress around here in the world of the NFL and certainly in the world of fantasy football. And Chinne, it gets so interesting as we talk about that going on and everything in the NFL. With these guys, we've also had some breaking news in the last couple of days. And really, this coincides with the last time you and I were on talking here. Doc Rivers had been, you know, mutually agreed, mutual part ways, however you want to phrase it, with the Los Angeles Clippers. And now we hear earlier that Doc Rivers will be taking the head coaching job with the Philadelphia 76ers. And you and I, it was so interesting. We both kind of met this news with the same it makes an overwhelming amount of sense. You look at the jobs open this offseason, and it's certainly one of the most high-profile, notable ones. There's two superstar players in there. Doc's a coach who's been around a long time, but it's still one of those where I struggle to see how this automatically fixes all the ills that either have dealt with. What was your response?
I'm a little hesitant just because I didn't know when it came to basketball, what to expect. But you know me, I'm an eternal optimist. So I started thinking, I put my cap on. One of the people that I got to meet, you know, we talk about Kyrie and how I've known Kyrie Irving. I've also known Tobias Harris for a while. We all three of us were part of the same McDonald's All-American class. And I've sort of had a front seat to watching and cheering for both of those guys as athletes and as players. And Tobias had one of his best years as a Clipper. And to me, this Doc Rivers hiring is pretty much their best version, you know, the 76ers, of return on their investment, because Tobias Harris signed a five-year, $180 million deal. And I know when it came to the Sixers, especially in the postseason, a lot of people were looking to him, especially without Ben Simmons playing, as someone that could generate offense. And over the course of the year, Tobias has been pretty good. But, you know, you want to make sure that that check you're writing cashes out, because you know you're going to get good basketball from Joel Embiid. You know you're going to get good basketball from Ben Simmons. And now if you can get the most out of Tobias Harris, the tricky part is that when I think about Doc Rivers and his teams, I always think of, like, the pick and roll. And maybe this is where they can succeed, because these are all big guys. And if he can find a creative way to get these guys easy looks at the rim, especially Joel Embiid, sort of use Ben Simmons, even though he's a point guard, as a, you know, as a center, I can see the potentials. But most importantly, this centers to me, my brain goes to Tobias Harris, because they want to make sure that paycheck cashes out.
Which is, like, funny to me, Chinne Agbumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio, because when I first read, there was an article on .com about this hire, and one of the first thing they mentioned was that Tobias Harris, and I was like, we all know good and damn well this decision wasn't made because of Tobias Harris, right? Like, any team, the decisions you're making are relative to your core superstars, and it's Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid here. We all know that, but we'd also be wrong to say, and like you pointed out, this is absolutely a part of that, because you're paying Tobias Harris like he's one of those guys. And so you need that investment to work out. But I'm curious, Chinne, because you mentioned all the ways Doc's offense has had success in the past. They also had a Chris Paul. Like, when I think of Doc Rivers and those Clippers teams, I think of Lob City led by Chris Paul, who's a very different player than anyone else has on that roster. So you mentioned Ben Simmons as a guy who is technically the point guard, but is he going to be able to operate things anywhere close to what we saw from that team and from that particular installment of the Clippers?
And so this is where I'm trying to like find some synergies. And when we talk about that Lob City lineup, it was a lot based on Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, sometimes going 4 and 5 and, you know, sharing the floor. Now you had Chris Paul that could stretch it and operate in the pick and roll. So if I'm Doc Rivers, I'm looking for who can be my version of a Chris Paul that can knock down shots, that's excellent in the pick and roll. And then maybe I can reinstitute something similar where Ben can be treated as a post offensively and Joel can be, you know, obviously a dominant force on the block. Let's just get that. I'm looking at the guard and I'm selling it as like, I'm sitting in the seat saying, look, all I need to do is find that one guy from the outside. Everything else can be easier because we have the talent there to dominate, especially defensively. Now, offensively, we just need this one more thing. And also, I think the biggest thing here is the respectability, like the respect.
Yep.
Doc Rivers, especially, you know, went over the course of the bubble, you know, gained so much respect by all players by speaking to what their emotions are and not like speaking in the way that like we're younger people. It's like, I've been through some things and I am still here and I'm in one of these positions. I think anyone sees him as a value add after what he's proven leadership wise, not just, you know, on the court where it could be a little bit questioned based on like the whole 3-1 type of thing, but off the court, that's where he really enhanced himself to make himself even more attractive to a front office.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't doubt, like, Doc Rivers is a well-established veteran head coach around this league. He's a champion in this league as a coach. Like, everyone sees that and understands that, but I think what you brought up there, that 3-1 playoff blown 3-1 playoff lead specter that's going to follow him around now, that's kind of why it makes this an interesting marriage of parts. Like, both of these parts, the 76ers core and Doc Rivers, are respected and talented but a bit flawed. We know with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they come into this, they're multi-time All-Stars. Ben Simmons was, you know, Rookie of the Year in the NBA. All of these things, all these accolades. But we know when it comes to the postseason, when it comes to the areas they're expected to perform, they've fallen short, just like Doc with those 3-1 leads. And so I feel like they're both kind of perfect for each other in that way. And someone who agrees, another guy who's no stranger to NBA head coaching circles, David Fizdale, our ESPN NBA analyst, talked about the marriage.
I do think it's a great fit. I think you're dealing with two guys who are stars who have had problems with each other and coexisting under the same roof. Doc Rivers has extensive experience in coaching the highest level egos in the game. And so I think he has as good an opportunity right now to get those two guys to figure it out and really come together and put all of that talent moving in the right direction.
And that's what everyone's certainly hoping for. I mean, hell, we've got our very own board op here, Cliff, who's our Philadelphia fan extraordinaire when they're good. And so he's hoping that in these instances we can get back to what that looks like when the 76ers are super competitive, what we expected from the process in this installment of the franchise.
I think the best way you can assess it is basically what you're saying. The 76ers with Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they're perfectly imperfect.
There we go. And you know what? We support. We're in a growth mindset in 2020. It's October. I'm pretty sure Mercury is no longer in retrograde. So our problems are all of our faults again in these situations. So we'll get to more on that one. But I want to get back to something we touched on earlier. Kyrie Irving is one of the most mysterious figures in the NBA. He is ever giving with content. And he's already been able to respond to some of the backlash to his podcast statement. We'll play that for you next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So I want to get back to Kyrie Irving because I think what Kyrie's done is he's created a situation where we all have free reign to think whatever we want about him now. That's exactly what he's wanted, and he's getting it. And I don't know whether he's going to like that or not, but I think he's losing the ability to complain about that. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenay Agwumike. But I can't get over the fact. So, Chenay, you and I are going to be in the virtual fan section tonight for game 2 of the NBA Finals. Heat are going to try and get back on track with the Lakers. That has gotten more difficult as Bam Adebayo has been ruled out for the game tonight. But I asked about who else was in there because game 1 it was like Shaq and Barack Obama and all these great people. And you rattled off all of the people on this list. And I was like, oh, Chenay, where'd you see that article? I was going to go look for it. Chenay got breaking news in 2020 off of LinkedIn. Like, that is the best advertisement for that app I've ever heard.
I'm not going to lie. Breaking news comes from all different sources these days.
Apparently, in a variety of subjects, in a variety of fields. I did not think our brethren in the student section were going to be coming from LinkedIn, but here we are. Do you have that depth chart again, by the way, the people that we're going to be up with tonight?
I think it's crazy, but let me go double check it because it seems absurd. But last game, game one, was absurd. The roster that they had, we have to live up to it. Like, that's the ultimate courtside. So I'm excited. Hopefully we'll find something cool to engage with, you know, so you guys can follow us during the game. I don't know. Maybe we'll try to high five every time something happens.
That's really the only thing I want, is to ensure that we are being seated next to one another, right? Like, we have very little to demand. Like, quite frankly, we can't go into these situations demanding much. But if you've got anything that we're going to do, and I'm not opposed to this, at Chinay, at Mike Golick Jr., depending on how much charity money gets thrown around, potentially, I might take my shirt off.
Oh!
Like, I just, like, I feel like that's what people want. That's one of the first things everyone mentioned.
What would it cause people to, like, to get to the threshold where you take it off?
I'm like, just saying, like, if people were going to talk about, you know, donating a certain amount to charity, we'll figure it out on this one. At Chinay, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter, submit your responses there. Chinay, you just tweeted out asking what we should do.
I feel like if it's the Heat doing something impressive, because the whole motto of this run and just Heat culture is the Heat is on. So, like, the Heat is on, you got to take off your shirt.
It's a fair point. God, I'm not in, like, fighting shape right now. It's not.
It's okay. Maybe we'll do something with ice cream. It's fine. That's a good plan B. Something with ice cream.
Yeah, no, I can say not the worst result in the world there. All right. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Chinay, we've talked so much about what's gone on with Kyrie Irving. For anyone that missed it, Kyrie, you know, basically what a lot of people perceived as a shot at LeBron James on Twitter. It was a new episode of Kevin Durant's new podcast called The ETCs with KD, where Kyrie Irving was trying to praise Kevin Durant. And he said, quote, "One thing I've always been comfortable with is I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that mother bleeper can make that shot too. And he'd probably do it a lot easier," referring to Kevin Durant. Chinay, I don't know how anyone can look at that and not perceive it as a shot at LeBron James, right?
Why are you doing this to me? This is the case that had been and continues to be, until now, Kyrie Irving's mindset. Even when he was playing with LeBron James, he considered himself the best threat from the perimeter, even though the numbers probably don't back it up. But guess what? The cultural moments kind of do. 2016, game 7, minute left, the shot. Having that mindset gets Kyrie Irving to do the impossible, to have that confidence that made us know exactly who he is as a top-tier performer in the NBA. Standing next to Kyrie Irving, I'm not going to lie, I'm 6'2". I think I'm 6'3-ish, 6'4", whatever you call it, you know, with the heels, whatever. I'm probably a little bit taller than him. And it's funny, we were on Zooms during the pandemic and he was like, "Chinay, come on, like, if you're ever in town, like, let's play." You know, he just has that never turn it off. I'm a competitor and that's what makes me great and that's what I appreciate about him. But by saying all of that, he had to also know what this implied. And sometimes I think this is the long about way of sort of making themselves feel good, themselves hyped up, put a little pressure on themselves, bring a little awareness to themselves in Brooklyn, knowing that they're gunning for everybody that's great. But the problem is, you're gunning at the wrong time, because you're doing it in the middle of the championship run where the Lakers really look like the favorites.
It really does make it difficult to try and take a lot of this seriously as you're watching LeBron accomplish on this level, and accomplish on a level that Kyrie Irving would not know were it not for LeBron James. I can appreciate the unbridled confidence, but the problem is the rest of us all see it for what it was. You had time in Cleveland when it was just you and nothing good happened until he came back and took you out of that. And then you went to Boston and we saw how that played out. And so you can understand why his perception of the situation, which I get as someone who played athletics at a high level and was around a lot of high-level competitors, that's the mindset you got to have. The rest of us don't necessarily have to believe it. Now, he saw the backlash. Here was Kyrie Irving's response to what everyone perceived as a slight. He went to his Twitter to deliver this message.
"Why must it always be brother against brother? Why? If I'm addressing anyone, I'll say their name. Come on, y'all. Don't listen to the false narratives. Let people live their lives."
Chiné, this is the part I get frustrated with, because I believe people when they say that Kyrie Irving is a bright dude, he's a thinker, he's all these things. But if you want to constantly play this game where you're toying with the media, trying to throw stuff out there and do all that, one of my favorite books is called Mother Night. It's about a double agent in World War II. It's written by Kurt Vonnegut. And the moral of that book, plainly stated, is we are what we pretend to be, so we need to be careful what we pretend to be. If you pretend to be that guy long enough, if you're Kyrie, and people respond that way, you lose the ability to get mad about it. You lose the ability to try and divert people or criticize when it comes to that. So if you want to be that guy and you want that to be your lot in life, that's cool. Just know that that is either, like, there are two options here in my mind. You either are actually that guy who feels slighted in this situation and wants to take that shot, which, cool, get it how you live. But if you want to deny that and then down the road, what happened after all the flat earth theory stuff, claim that this was a joke gone wrong and you were trying to see how it went with the media, you kind of lose that right too, because if you cry wolf long enough, eventually we're going to believe that's you howling.
Yeah, I would just say this. Kyrie Irving only cares about the things that he cares about. And so this dialogue, this discussion, by going out and sort of clearing things up, he doesn't really care about the perception of, you know, what people think he is, because you're right, for so long, it's just who he's become to us in sports media. He cares about his teammate right now, Kevin Durant. He cares about, behind closed doors, you know, helping the game of basketball. And the way he does it is by playing or by doing other things. You know, for us, what we saw, especially during the WNBA season, that is the Kyrie Irving that will say things, knowing that things might get taken out of context or run with based on how he says it, but he really doesn't care. And that's the essence of him.
It is. And I can understand and I can certainly appreciate that, Chiné. Like, and again, as someone that spent a long time inside of locker rooms, you can see the outside world and see the media as an enemy. I'm just curious in how it affects his perception around the league, because we saw Boston was not a clean operation when it came to leadership and the politics inside that locker room. There were things there that did not work for reasons. And you wonder how much the perception you create before you get into those spaces maybe bleeds over into those spots. So there's a lot to unpack overall. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And we'll get back into that plenty. And as we mentioned before, how the Heat respond tonight with the various injuries they've had.
And by the way, LeBron James is good, because if there's one person that's offended, it could be LeBron James. But guess where he is? He's in the finals.
I was going to say, this is unfortunate for the Heat too, because he's probably a little bit ticked off.
Oh yeah, that's not a good thing.
And ready to show everybody there. So we'll check in with what is a potentially motivated and dangerous LeBron James in a little bit. But coming up next, our show is going to throw a collective Hail Mary, and we hope it lands. That's next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Chiné, what did I tell you earlier? When one junior wins, we all win, right?
Absolutely.
Them's the rules, and that's how it goes down. And so we are delighted now to be joined by a winner. He is your NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month for September. He is a rookie second-round draft pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His name is Antoine Winfield Jr., and we are delighted to have him with us here now. Antoine, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, man. And as I mentioned, congratulations, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month for September. An impressive outing. Already racked up 23 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 QB hits, a tackle for loss, 2 passes defense, and a forced fumble. So the transition from college to the NFL going well for you. And I'm curious in starting there, you had a guy in PJ Fleck at Minnesota, row the boat, everyone knows, high energy, and now you have transitioned to Bruce Arians in this Tampa Bay squad. They seem like they are miles apart personality wise. So I'm curious, what's the transition been like there from the differences in the head man?
Yeah, I would say two totally different personalities. Coach Fleck is, he's all about energy and, he's always hyped at any moment of the day. And, BA is more of like a chill, laid back type of coach. So I would say the coaching styles are totally different.
Here with Antoine Winfield Jr., defensive back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. This man is a unanimous All-American, first team All-Big Ten out of Minnesota, as we mentioned, and we're one of the few shows that actually gets that transition to the pros. As a rookie, you're already making a name for yourself, as Defensive Rookie of the Month, but you're also walking into a locker room with some really big names as well. You know where this is going. Tom Brady. Now, it's really cool looking up your family. family history because your dad, your father, played against Tom 10 times and even had an interception against Tom. And now you are Tom's teammate. What is that like, and how is it having Tom Brady as a teammate?
Oh, it's great having him as a teammate. You know, he's a great leader, great guy. It's still weird that I'm still playing with him. It's crazy just to know that, like, he actually played against my dad. You said 10 times? That's ridiculous. Yep. And now he's my teammate. It's just ridiculous just to even think about.
What do you kind of get out of practice going in? I mean, you've got certainly a number of weapons on that offense that you guys are playing at, but Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, who are both walk-in Hall of Famers, you know, what is that like for you as a defensive player to kind of pick their brain?
Yeah, I mean, this is great just to, you know, go against that every day in practice, you know, seeing what those guys are doing, how they're working, and just like the plays they make, you know, it only makes me better just being able to see it firsthand and go up against it.
Now, Antoine, is there another person in the locker room that you have surprisingly come to enjoy?
Another person in the locker room, I would say Sean Murphy Bunting. That's my guy. I would say he's, you know, being around him, he's a real cool dude, and he surprised me a lot.
NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month, Antoine Winfield Jr. from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with us now. And you are just the fourth Tampa Bay player to win Defensive Rookie of the Month honors, joining one of your linebackers on your team, Devin White, Noah Spence from 2016, and Levante David from 2012. And we've had this conversation a lot in the national media now, people feeling like Levante David has not gotten the love he's deserved as one of the premier linebackers in this league. How special of a player is he as you line up with him each and every day?
Oh man, great player, great leader. You know, he knows everybody's job. He's always communicating well. You know, he even gets me into position sometimes. So I would say he's a great leader and a great player.
Here with Antoine Winfield Jr., Defensive Rookie of the Month on Chinay Ngolick Jr. And, you know, we are a very family-friendly show, Antoine. All from sports families, from different ways, different walks. But you're following in the footsteps, as we mentioned earlier, of your father, who played 14 seasons in the NFL, Bills Vikings, obviously. But what was the moment where you knew, I could hold it down versus Pops?
Versus my dad?
Yes.
Are you talking about just versus me and him?
Yeah, sure.
Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, sure. Was there a moment where your dad sort of realized, oh, he's stepping into his own shoes?
Yeah, I guess that kind of goes back to when I was back in high school. I remember he challenged me in a race one time because he thought he was faster than me. And I remember beating him in that race, and then I guess his whole perspective changed with me. And then that carries on to college. He saw me play, and now that I'm playing in the pros, he's like, yeah, you're holding it down. Just keep doing what you do.
It's awesome stuff. Well, Antoine, I can say this from one junior to another here on this. I appreciate you holding it down for all of us that share our dad's name. So incredible stuff already, an incredible start to the season for you and the Bucs. And we're looking forward to what you and the rest of that defense have in store, man. Thanks for the time today.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, y'all.
Antoine Winfield Jr., NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month, joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. He has been driven this season to go out there and get it done and to show them why they drafted him. More Driven is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, More Driven. Always feels good. Everyone, like, every, I feel like, you know, father-son kind of has that moment, Chinay. His is a lot more dignified than the one me and my dad had, where we got into a wrestling match on the front lawn of my grandmother's house and embarrassed her in front of the entire neighborhood.
Whoa. Okay, who won? You won?
Yeah, I won that one. That was Easter Sunday when I was in college, so I was about 300 pounds of young, unbridled fury, and I know where all my dad's surgeries are, so I just took advantage of that.
Oh, that was smart. That was a scouting report. I'm trying to think of myself. My dad, it's funny, we call him Playoff Papa D, Playoff Pops, because any playoff game, my pops will be there, so much so that he went into the bubble even though the Sparks lost. Like, took 6 COVID tests, was ready to cheer on the Sparks. But yeah, they didn't win the game, so they get into, yeah.
I feel like your father has more of a stake at that playoff name than Playoff P himself does. So, I'm just saying at this point.
That was cool.
No, you know what? This is insane.
But my dad does have a championship, though. I'll show you the picture.
This is in support of your father. See, I'm like Kyrie Irving. This is in support of him. This is not a slight toward Playoff P in this situation.
Look
trying to work my way out of it. We'll coming up next. See if the Heat can work themselves out of a situation in the NBA Finals against the Lakers. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.